morning. Today's daf is daf Lamed Beis. We're behind. We're back on Lamed Aleph, and today we'll do some work in terms of catching up. And we are going to transition today into the world of mezuzah. So it's an exciting day today. The Gemara yesterday was looking for Shimon Shazuri. Now we know where he is. When we say looking for Rav Shimon Shazuri, there was a comment made by Rabbi Chanina that says that any time that you see the halachas, like any time you see Rav Shimon Shazuri, you know the halacha is going to fall like him. Now, it happens to be that every time that we've quoted Rav Shimon Shazuri, we had an Amora. Usually it was Rabbi Yochanan, but it was another, it was either Rabbi Yochanan or some other Amora, who came up and said, oh, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri. And the Gemara says, so when Rav Chanina said his statement, and he said, you know, every time it says the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri, so the halacha is like him. So which place was he talking about? Because we've always had a follow-up after Rav Shimon Shazuri made a comment. And so what we did, very systematically, is we went through every Rav Shimon Shazuri in Shas, and so far we have not yet found a place where there wasn't a follow-up, where an Amora came along and said, oh, and that's the halacha. So what we need to do is we need to find a place where Rav Shimon Shazuri said something in a Mishnah, and that was it. It was just left alone. So we're gonna do that first today, meaning that's our first order of business for today. Finish up this discussion of Shimon Shazuri. That's at the top of Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph. I know we're behind. And then we're going to go finish that discussion. That's going to take us through the entire Amud Aleph. And then Amud Beis, we're going to get back to the discussion of Hilchos Stam, writing a Sefer Torah. And then we're going to transition to Lamed Beis, and Lamed Beis begins the mezuzah discussion. We'll start it on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. And then Lamed Beis, which is today's daf, is the mezuzah discussion, and we'll start with the actual mezuzah discussion today. Okay? That's on order for today. A lot to do, a lot to cover, so let's get going. We're on the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis, right, where we basically got through all the various mishnayos of Rav Shimon Shazuri. We did the sugya of Ben Pekua yesterday. We did the sugya of Tenu, Kisvu Tenu yesterday. Good. We did the sugya of Pul HaMitzri, right? The bean, which you have to. The Gemara had troubles how to figure out how to take off Trumas HaMaisros because it follows the point of Hashrash and not the point of Lakita. And now we are on the bottom of the page, the very bottom of the page, Amar Rav Papa. So the Gemara is now going to give us two other halachas of Shimon Shazuri. Number one, Amar Rav Papa Shida. So Rav Papa says it's a halach of Shida. Stay tuned, we're going to see what that means in just a moment. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Ayayin. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak says it's a halach of wine. Again, stay tuned, as we're going to see that in just a moment. So Rav Papa Amar Shida did not. So here we have a Mishnah in Kalim, 11th parak of Kalim. The Mishnah says, Ashira Beishamim Armim Nimdez Bemifnim Beisil Armim Mibachutz. Okay, some basic halachas in order to understand this Mishnah. Sometimes the kli is too big, it's no longer susceptible to tumah. It's that simple. Right? Once the kli gets over the size of Mem Sa'ah, 40 Sa'ah, which is, as everyone here should be familiar with, the amount that's needed in order to make a mikvah, kasher mikvah. So once it's 40 Sa'ah, once the kli is 40 Sa'ah, so then it's no longer mekabel tumah. Now, it's a little bit more fine-tuned than just being Memsa'ah. It has to be able to hold Memsa'ah. Okay, so if a kli is able to hold, the content of the kli is able to hold Memsa'ah, so therefore it's no longer susceptible to tumah. Okay, let's say, I know this is very detailed, but let's say it's a kli that can't hold Memsa'ah, but the walls of the kli are really thick. So that if, in theory, I were to carve out the walls of that kli, it could hold Memsa'ah. Is that big? Does that now, did it hit the maximum requirement of Memsa'ah, the minimum requirement? That's better, right? Yeah, I like that better. Did it hit the minimum requirement of Memsa'ah so that it's no longer Mekabel Tumah? Machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Okay? So, did not. Hashida Beis Shammai Amim Nimdedes Mibifnim Beis Hillel Amim Mibachutz. So Beis Hillel says you just measure the interior. Meaning, Beis Shammai says you look at just the interior. And if in the interior you have Memsa'ah, good. Right? Correct. Beis Shammai is more machmer. Beis Hillel omri mibachutz. Beis Hillel says, no, you do it mibachutz from the outside. So, right, and look at the Rashi. Rashi, four lines down. Ove ha-nisar nimdad ima. You look at the actual thickness of the boards. The rowan ilu hayachalal mibifnim. look at it. If it was mechulal, meaning had the boards not been there, or the thickness of the boards, haya mashlam the kuraim, would it get me to the shear of kuraim? Kuraim, by the way, is a double core, is the same as mem sa'a, right? Okay, fine, right. Umodim eleva elushain ove haraglaima ove halavaz vazin nimdad. However, things that everybody agrees you can't count towards mem sa'a. You can't count the legs, because the legs aren't holding anything. It's not; they're not made for content. They're just made for supporting, and the space in between. And the I'm sorry. And la vizvazvaz the mizgeret the rim around the top. That also does not get measured. Rabbi Yosi Omer modim shehovei haraglaim vehovei la vizvaz and nimdad uveinehem ein nimdad. So Rabbi Yosi disagrees. In other words, he says that there is agreement between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that you can measure the ove haraglayim, the thickness of the legs, and the ove alavazvazim, that you can measure as well, uve nehem ein nimdad. But let's say that there's a little bit of airspace between the bottom of the kli and the kli, meaning the legs are basically on the four corners, and now you have a little gap underneath. So Rav Yossi says that gap you can't measure. You can't measure veneim ein nimdad. And Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer imhayu raglaim gvom tefach ein veneim nimdad veimlav veneim nimdad. And along comes Rav Shimon Shazuri, right, which is why we want this Mishnah in Kalim. And he says that if the gap underneath the kli is less than a tefach, you can measure that gap towards the mem sa'a shi'ir. Good. That's the opinion of Shimon Shazuri. Now, on this Mishnah and Kalim, no one ever says, oh, and by the way, the halacha falls like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Okay, good. So that's one Mishnah. So we have come across now one Mishnah where we have this phenomena of a halacha of Rav Shimon Shazuri, but no support. Now we need the statement of Rabbi Chanina of Kol Makom Shoshana, every time we see Rav Shimon Shazuri, halacha kamosa. Or number two, second Mishnah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Ayayin Didnan Rabbi Meir Omer Shemen Tchila La'olam. V'chachamim Omrim Af Advash Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Af Hayayin. Also, I'm going to provide a little bit of background information so we understand this Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah in Kalim and the Mishnah here, Mishnah out of Taharos. Okay. The story goes like this. In order, in terms of conveyance of tumah, so we've discussed many times how when you transfer tumah from one object to another and to another, so there's always going to be a drop off in tumah, right? So in other words, if an av hatumah touches a kli, the kli is a rishon. If an av hatumah touches the food's a rishon. Now, what happens if there's another point of contact between this and this food and another food? So it drops down; it becomes a sheni l'tumah. Okay, in the world of chulin, that's it. It's just up to sheni. In the world of truma, you can go to shlishi. In the world of kodesh, you can go up to a revi. Okay, but every time that there's a contact, there's going to be a drop off in the level of tumah. Liquids have a chumra midrabanan. In that liquids, mashke always get bumped up to a number one. Always. Well, if it touches an avatoma, so it's not going to get bumped up because it's an avatoma, the liquid's going to become a rishon. But if, let's say, the liquid touches a rishon, the liquid becomes a rishon. If the liquid touches a sheni, the liquid becomes a rishon. Okay, it's a chomer derabanan, it's a rabbinic stringency, that by liquids we're always going to bounce back up to one. Why that is, not for now. Okay, here this Mishnah in Taharos is just describing a simple discussion, which is, what's a liquid? Right, what is considered a mashke? So Rabbi Meir Omer Shemen Tchila La'olam. So Shemen, oil, always becomes Tchila. Tchila here in this context means Rishon. It's always going to become a Rishon. Tchila La'olam. Chachamim Omer Mafa Dvash. And the Chachamim add honey. Honey being a liquid, right? You hear that's a... Okay, why not? Af Advash. And Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Af Hayayin. Even wine. Now it's funny, listen to those words, even wine. What, even wine? If anything, I would think that wine would be like at the top of the list of things that right of things that are a mashke. The af hayayin, even wine, that's just, it's difficult to hear. What is he saying? Right? Right? Wine is like a second thought in terms of what a mashke is. So the Gemara immediately picks up on that. Mechlal the Tanakama Savar Yain Lo. Right? It sounds like the Tanakama doesn't even hold that wine's a mashke, and that can't be. Right, just intuitively, we all know that the wine is a liquid. Amar Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Yayin. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, it means wine. Wine to the exclusion of, right, seemingly to the exclusion of oil. Seemingly. Although, Okay, there's a long tosis about that, but anyway. So Tanya, we learned on a brayso. Amar Shimon Shuzuri Pamachas Nesarvli Tevel Bechulin. No, we're not up to that yet. Okay, so that's our second Mishnah. That's the Mishnah in Taharos. The point is that we have now another Mishnah where Rav Shimon Shuzuri says a halacha that wine is a mashke, and now we know the proper understanding of that Mishnah. He means wine to the exclusion of, right? Either to the exclusion of honey, or maybe even to the exclusion of oil. Possibly. Okay, but the point is that here we have another Mishnah, and now we could say, Kol Makom Shoshana Rabbi Shimon Shuzuri Halacha Kamoso. Here's a place where we have a halacha of Shimon Shuzuri, and no one followed up. By the way, we just quoted a Mishnah in Kalim, and we quoted a Mishnah in Taharos. Of course there's no follow-up. There's no Gemara. There's no Gemara in Kalim, there's no Gemara in Taharos. So the Mishnahs that we're going to choose from are going to be Mishnahs from, you know, from places where there are no Gemara.
The machlok is on which one he said. We're saying it. They're both halacha.
Correct. Right. In other words, right. Even though the Amoraim are giving different Mishnayos,
it's the same result. I mean, they're both.
Right. Agreed. Tanya. Amar of Shimon Shazuri Pamachas Nisar of Li Tevel B'chulin. So one time I had a mixture of Tevel and Chulin. Okay, Tevel of course means produce that was not, Trumas HaMaisis were not taken off, and it got mixed up with Chulin. V'ati v'shalti as Rabbi Tarfon v'amar li lach kachacham in ashuk v'aser alav. Okay, so he says to me like this, well, here's what you're going to do. In other words, what's the problem? The problem is Tevel. So by the Tevel, you need to take off Trumas HaMaisis. You need to take off Trumas HaMaisis and Tevel. So the recommendation that he got, the advice that he got was, go and buy from the marketplace the Aser Alav and take off Trumas HaMaisis on it. Now, Kasabra Da'araisa Beruba Bato. So really, in order to understand this, so the Gemara is going to give us a couple of basic rules. Number one, that Min HaTorah, it's Bato Barov. Okay, the rov ame haaretz ma'asrin hain, and most amharatzim do in fact take off chumas ma'isros. Remember, we talked about demai yesterday, and we talked about how about demai, it's just a suffix, and it might be even a little bit less than a suffix, meaning the majority of them do take off chumas ma'isros. V'havale ketar min aptur ala ptur, and the problem now is that demai fundamentally is really patur, even though there's a rabbinic stringency to take off shumas ha-maisros, but fundamentally it's really patur. And now I'm taking from patur onto patur. And that's going to be an issue. So he says, in order to obviate the whole problem, go buy produce from the store, from the marketplace, and that way you could be mafrish from tevel onto real tevel, and not the demai, which is real tevel. So the Gemara says, why didn't he make the suggestion, go and buy from a non-Jew, go buy produce from a non-Jew? So the Gemara says, this is subject to a major debate that we see time and again. When a non-Jew owns property in Israel, is the produce that grows on his property, is it mufka? Is it removed from the halachas of Trumas HaMaisros? Subject to a debate. And in going and asking Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon's of the opinion that there is that a non-Jew's produce is not mufka, it's not removed from Trumas HaMaisros. And that means that it's chiv and petur mixed together. Igadam, the Gemara gives a slightly different version of the story. The advice given to Rabbi Tarfon is go get produce from a non-Jew. And now, good, it's patur and it's patur. So it's the same types of items, and I could take trumas and maisos from one onto the other. Now, according to the Sikha Dharma, according to the second version, why not go back to the market? Because in the second version, he disagrees, meaning he holds that when it comes to demai, produce purchased from an amaret, it's a real suffix. It's not like a, you know, most of them take off trumas and maisos. It's a real suffix, and so therefore, the tevel that he has in his hands, and the chulin that he has in his hands, and that which he buys in the store, are not going to be the same. Okay, one more little piece of Gemara, And we finish off this whole section of Rav Shimon Shizuri. Shalchei Rav Yemar Bar Shammai L'Rav Papa Hadaman Rabin Bar Chinana Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Chanina. We go back to the statement of Rabbi Chanina. We started the whole discussion rolling. Halachik Rabbi Shimon Shizuri V'lo O'Nelo Kamakum Shoshana Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Halachik Kamoso Afin Is Arev Le Tevel B'chulin. How about in this last case where Tevel and Chulin got mixed up together? Is the halach like Rav Shimon Shizuri in this case as well? So Amar Le in... So he said, yeah. Yeah, even in this case as well. Amar Avashi, Amar Limar Zurcha, Kashi Bar Rav Chanina Mesura, Pshita. The Gemara says, I don't understand. What do you, you're asking me a question. Even in this case, the statement is, Kol Makom Shoshanu, every place. So Pshita, so it's so obvious. Mi Kamar B'Mishnasenu. And don't tell me that what we just went through, the last 10 lines of Gemara, of the Tevel and Chulin getting mixed up together, that's not a Mishnah. Right, even though that's true, it's not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. Don't tell me that, well, maybe you thought there was a difference because what we were just learned is not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. And maybe the statement of Rav Chanina of Kol Makom is only talking about the Mishnayos and not about the Braisas. The Gemara says, don't tell me that. Mikamar b'mishnah senu, top of Lamed Alpha Mid Beis. It doesn't say b'mishnah senu. It says kol makom shoshana kamar. It simply says every place. Period. End of that discussion. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, don't tell me that. Good. That ends the tangent. It's a long tangent of the Gemara, meaning the Gemara we had a halacha of Shimon Shizuri, and then the Gemara says kol makom, and then the Gemara went on a long tangent. But if you remember, let's go back to where we were. We were discussing the Sefer Torah. So, the last halacha that we were discussing regarding the Sefer Torah was writing the name of Hashem. Or, forgetting to write the name of Hashem. So we learned before that if you forget to write the name of Hashem, so what do? So there was a Braisa with five opinions in terms of what you should do. Rav Shimon Shizuri says if you forgot the whole name of Hashem, you write it in the line above. If you forgot half a name of Hashem, you're kind of stuck, right? And okay, and that's the last halacha of Sefer Torah that we've done before we tangented on the Kol Makom. But now that we're done with the Kol Makom, so now we go back to the halachas of Sefer Torah. Amarav, Ziri, Amarav, Hanano, Amarav. Okay, halacha by Rav. I told you, I have this theory that so many of the halachas of Sefer Torah are brought to us by Rav. I don't have an explanation, but just made an observation. So, kara haba b'shnei shitim yitfor. B'shalosh al yitfor. So there's a tear in the Sefer Torah. Okay, someone does hagba, a little too aggressive with the hagba. And your Sefer Torah you're immune.
No,
you have a total immunity to tearing of the cloth. But I mean, life happens, but I'm saying, but right, we expose our cloth not in ways that you can never imagine. So a guy's a little too aggressive with his hagba and he tears the cloth. Okay, so okay, a little stitching, a little suturing. Not a big deal. So, but it depends, though. However, says the Gemara, "B'shnei shitim yitfor." If it's just two lines, so that okay, fine. That's considered a little tear, and that's okay. And then you stitch it. B'shalosh al yitfor. But once you have the three lines of Sefer Torah that are torn, so then al yitfor. So then you can't stitch it. Okay, the Gemara doesn't give reasons why. Rashi just simply says, "Yisalak is a yiriyah." You remove the whole urea. In other words, you got to take the whole cloth away, replace it with a totally new cloth. Obviously, you have to rewrite all that which was written on that cloth. And okay, it could be. It's a function of hider, right? Could be. I'm not sure. I don't have an explanation. So Amalei Rabba Zutei LeRav Ashi HaChamer Rav Yirmiyah Midiftim Mishmei DeRava HaDamrin B'Shalosh Al Yid For LaAman Ela BeAtikta Aval Chadisasa LeSan Ba. So the Gemara now is going to make a distinction between an old Sefer Torah and a new Sefer Torah. Okay, now, when we say old Sefer Torah, new Sefer Torah, the Gemara says lav dafta. We don't exactly mean old versus new. V'lo atikta atikta mamish, v'lo chadata chadasa mamish. It doesn't mean really old and really new. They're borrowed terms. What it really means is ela hadalo afitzan hada afitzan. Okay. There is some sort of chemical agent that was placed on the Sefer Torah. It was
Walnut juice.
Okay, I don't know the process.
What juice?
Galnut. G-A-L?
G-A-L-L.
Two L's.
True from an oak tree.
Okay, so it's some sort of chemical agent that was applied to the cloth. And it sounds like from the Gemara that you can either apply it or you don't have to apply it. It sounds that way from the Gemara. Tosos here has a lengthy discussion of whether that's correct or not, that implication. But anyway, it goes like this. If you apply this chemical agent, so it's going to darken it, right? Rashi, fourth line down, Havi Shachor, Ka'atika. It's going to start looking dark, like an old Sefer Torah. Right, look at an old Sefer Torah.
You have one down there.
Right,
you have one with dark. We have a dark.
Right. So it starts darkening. So the Havishachar Katika Afitza Mitukana cloth the Aftsan Shikarin Gulfs. And then Rashi just simply says this process. So when we say dark, when we say old, we mean that it had this treatment applied. And so now we go back to the halacha. The halacha is we made a distinction between 2 versus 3, that if it's torn 2, it's okay. If it's torn 3, that's not okay, meaning you got to throw it out. I don't mean throw it out. I meant geniza. Okay. So just bury it. So discard, I should say. So anyway, so the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to say there's a distinction. That's true by an atika. That's true by one that's dark. Where I guess the tear is more noticeable over there. But if it's chadita, but if it's a new one, so I guess the tear is not as noticeable. Right? I think this is a pshat.
When
stitching, it's more, it kind of like...
When it's old, it gets dried up, so it's harder.
It's harder to stitch up. Okay. And also, when you do the stitching, you got to use sinew. You got to use gid. But to use some sort of thick rope, so the Gemara says that you cannot use. Okay. Fine. Okay. We talked about a tear. Now, we said in terms of a tear... So there's a difference between 2 lines versus 3 lines. So that means that the tear actually went through the lines themselves. What if the tear didn't go through the line? What if the tear went between 2 columns? Mm-hmm. So what do we do there? Do we look at the shear? Meaning, do we basically say, well, had this tear gone through the actual column itself, we only have a 2-line limit. After 2 lines, it's no good. You got to discard. Or no, if it's between the columns, there's more of an allowance of the tear to go in and to go down. Gemara says, or before we get to the Gemara's answer, which is going to be teku, but before that, or the Gemara says, how about the other way? We've been talking about a vertical tear. What if it's a horizontal tear that goes between the lines? So there actually is none of the letters are actually upset by the tear. So the Gemara says teku. The Gemara says on these two questions, I don't know. Meaning this 2-line allowance, is that a shear which would affect wherever the tear may occur? Or no, you actually need the tear to go through 2 lines. If the tear is not going through actual lines, so then there's maybe more of an allowance. And the Gemara Teku, the Gemara ends off this question unresolved. Amar Ziri, Amar Chanan, Amar Av Mezuzah, Shekasu Shtayim Shtayim, Kshera. Okay, we transition. Okay, we talked about the halachas of Sefer Torah. We are now going to transition into the halachas of Mezuzah. Mezuzah is easy, or so you think. Right? Mezuzah, it's easy. Right? It's going to be harder. Right? Mezuzah is easy because a mezuzah, what is it? It's one piece of cloth.
It's not in a cloth. It's like a different type of parchment.
We'll talk about that. Okay? It's one piece of cloth, and it is 2 paragraphs. Paragraph of Shema, paragraph of Ahaya. Right? Why those 2 paragraphs? Because those are the 2 paragraphs in the Torah that discuss mezuzah. It's that simple. And so it's Shema, it's Vahaya, and that's a mezuzah. And you roll it up and you put it on your door and... Right? That's easy. That's not going to be easy. Amrav Zihiri, Amrav Chanan, Amrav. Mezuzah shekas v'shtayim, shtayim k'shera. If you write a mezuzah, columns that are 2 letters long...
Two words.
So, thank you. 2 words long. So that's kasha. That's really thin, right? A column made up of 2 words. So you can only imagine now the mezuzah is really, really long. If each line only had two words, okay, shtaim shtaim ksherah. So ibailu shtaim v'shalosh v'achas mahu. So the Gemara wonders, what about configurations? What about 2, 3, and 1? Okay, on the side of the Gemara, the Shita Mekubetzes, he actually draws up scenarios that discuss these types of comms that we're talking about. 2, 3, 1. If you look at the first box of the Shita Mekubetzes, v'ayu advarim, okay, ha'ela asher anochi, that's 3, mitzvah v'cha, that's 1. So that's 2, 3, 1. So Amar Rav Nachman, so kol shekein she'asa kashira. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, oh, what do you mean? That's fine. In fact, you made it like a shira. You made it like a song. And what's wrong with making it like a song? Now, there's poetry in the Torah. I'm not a big poem guy. You probably would have guessed. You can only imagine. But there is poetry in the Sefer Torah. Not only is there poetry in the Sefer Torah, but there are rules in terms of how poetry is actually supposed to be written in the Sefer Torah. The Rambam, which we're going to turn to in just a little bit, actually writes out for us how to write Az Yashir. Az Yashir is a poem, and Az Yashir has a certain format in terms of how it's to be written, and the Rambam goes through the trouble of actually writing out Az Yashir in Mishnah Torah so that we know, oh good, so when we write a Sefer Torah, we'll know how to write it. So it's a Shira, it's a poem. So the Gemara is now saying, if I do a configuration of the mezuzah, where I do 2 and 3 under that, and 1 under that, beautiful, right? I'm writing poetry. The Gemara says, "Wait a second, Meisvei, Asa Kashira Oshira Kamosa Psula." So the Brisa says very clearly, you can't do that. Meaning, in the Torah, you have to separate your poetry from prose. Right? You like that English term? I know, it's really impressive. Right? You have to separate your poetry from your prose. Meaning, in a Sefer Torah, if you're writing just the other parts of the Sefer Torah, not the poetry part, so you can't write that like a Shira. Not only that, the Brisa says, if you write it like a Shira, you disqualify the Sefer Torah. Conversely, if you take poetry like Shira Sayam, and you write that like prose, so you pass the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara is now saying, wait a second, you're just giving me an argument that by mezuzah, if I write columns that are 2, 3, and 1, so it's like a Shira. Gemara is saying, why are you saying that's a good thing? That's not a good thing. Prose has to be prose, and poetry has to be poetry, and you can't confuse the two. So why are you looking at that as like it's a good thing? And to that, the Gemara's answer is, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, I'm sorry, Meisvei Asak Shero, I'm sorry, Asak Kashir Oshir Kamosa Psula, Kitanya Hi B'Sefer Torah. So the Gemara's answer is, that's true, but that's by Sefer Torah. And don't confuse a mezuzah and a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah has its set of rules, and a mezuzah has its set of rules. And you're right, in a Sefer Torah, Shira has to be Shira, the rest of the Sefer Torah has to be just prose, Sefer Torah, and you're right, you can't confuse the two. But mezuzah is not a Sefer Torah. And if you want to write your mezuzah like a Shira, that's fine. If you configure your mezuzah 2, 3, and 1, meaning in a column, one line is 2 words, next line is 3 words, next line is 1 word, kshera, uvavasha lo yas, and a kukuba. However, there are certain structures that you can't do. You can't make it look like a tent. Make it look like a tent, meaning 1, 2, and 3, like a pyramid, like a triangle. That you can't do. Ask me why? I don't have an explanation in terms of why not. Meaning Shira is fine, making it look like a 10, 1, 2, 3, that you can't do. Uvavashalo Yasa Kazanov. Also 3 to 1. 3 to 1 you can't do as well. Meaning the Gemara calls that a tail, right? A tail thick towards the base and thinner as it gets to the end. You can't make it look like a tail, you can't go 3 to 1. Okay. I don't know why. I don't have a hesber behind what the psul is. But okay, but 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1 you can't do. But if you want to alternate 2, 3, 1, right? 3, 1, 2, right? That you can do. That because that looks like a shira, and that you can do. Amar of Chista, more halachas regarding a mezuzah. Al haaretz b'shita achrona. Okay, the last 2 words of a mezuzah is going to be al haaretz. Okay, we're holding right. Kimei shamayim Al Haaretz. Okay, that's the last words of the paragraph of the Hayah. So the last two words, Al Haaretz, has to be on the last line. And meaning only those two words, Al Haaretz. Okay, now, where on the last line? Okay, beginning of the line, middle of the line, end of the line. Okay, we're only going to entertain two of those three possibilities. It's a machlokas, however, whether it should be in the beginning or the end. So, Igad Amre, sorry, Arz B'Shita Achrona. Igad Amre B'Sof Shita, V'Igad Amre B'Tchila Shita. Okay? Two opinions, either end of the line or beginning of the line. Now, remember, part of the idea of mezuzah is that it provides shmira. It gives us a certain amount of protection, right? The Torah actually says, if you wear your tefillin and you learn Torah and you have a mezuzah, right? So you're going to have a long life. So part of the idea of having the words Al Haaretz on the last line by itself is to reflect this idea of bracha, shmira and bracha. And the Gemara says you can say it in one of two ways. Ikad amre, ikad amre sof shita, ikad amre b'tchilas shita. Man amre b'sof shita. Look, if you're going to have it at the end of the line, kigavoa shamayim al haaretz. The pasuk in Tehillim says that the distance between shamayim va'aretz, it's a huge distance, right? Huge. So the bracha that we should have, the long life that we should have, the longevity, should be like the distance between shamayim va'aretz. If you can picture now where the mezuzah, where you write the words Al Haaretz at the end of the last line, Haaretz is going to be right under Shamayim. Right? Yeah. Right. The pasuk ends. Someone set me up. How's the pasuk end? Kimeh Shamayim Al Haaretz. Right? You asked me to work backwards now. I can't do Lemafreya. I can't. Anyway, Kimei Hashemayim Al Haaretz. But in other words, if you Hashemayim is the Kimei Hashemayim Al Haaretz. Okay, but good. So you see, Kimei Hashemayim. Shemayim is the last word in the second to last line. And now you take those last words, Al Haaretz, and you shift it all the way to the left. So now Haaretz is going to be right under Shemayim, and that's the idea of just like the distance between Shemayim and Haaretz is so great. So too, we should have longevity that long. On the other hand, you can make the argument that you want it at the beginning of the line. Why? Because that obviously is going to create distance. Meaning Shamayim is going to be here. Well, I'll turn to your direction. Shamayim will be here. Right? That's this line. And this line over here, Al Haaretz, if you put in the beginning of the line, so then that's going to be Merchak, that's going to be distance. Okay, so the Gemara brings down two opinions. The Gemara does not conclude. The minhag is to do it at the end of the line. Okay, open up your mezuzahs. You'll see. End of the line. That's not the minhag. The minhag is to do it at the end of the line.
One big line between them.
Huh?
One big line.
Yeah, you'll have a big space between them. Kehech demecher shemay marz. Amar Rabbi Chalbo chazin alei l'Rav Huna dekarech leime echad kalpe shema. The Osa Parshios Stumos. Two halachas by Rabbi Chalbo. Halacha number one, you roll your mezuzah. Okay? We all know that. We all look at a mezuzah, it's rolled. How do you roll it? Which direction do you roll it from? So Rabbi Chalbo says that I saw Rav Huna, right? Maisa Rav. Right? I went to go see my Rabbi Rav Huna. The Karich lay that he would roll it from Echad, meaning that first line of the mezuzah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So he would start from Echad and he would roll it back to Shema. So he'd roll it left to right. Right? You write it right to left, you roll it left to right. Okay, so that's halacha number one. And number two, va'ose parshio stumos. Okay. And number two is that he would make the parsha stuma. Now there are two paragraphs in Shema. There's a paragraph of Shema and there's a paragraph of Haya. Okay, now, here's the tricky part. All right, first of all, let me just give a basic introduction to psuchos and stumos. And then we'll discuss the second halacha of Rabbi Chalbo. Okay, when you write a Sefer Torah, so you know that it's paragraphs. It's broken up into paragraphs. The paragraphs are broken up in one of two ways. There's what's called the psucha and there's what's called the stuma. Okay? In the eighth parak of Hilchos Sefer Torah, so we're going to go through the first couple of halachos in the Rambam's Hilchos Sefer Torah, but I should just tell you that what the Rambam does, it's unbelievable, is that he goes through the entire Sefer Torah and he tells you which paragraph is a Pesucha, which paragraph is a Stuma, and he takes you through the entire Sefer Torah. At the end of every Sefer, he says, here in Sefer Bereishis, the number of Pesuchas are 43. The number of Stumas are 48. Okay? 91 in total. And he does that for every one of the five Sifrei Torah, and he tells you how many Pesuchas are and how many Stumas are. Okay. It of course begs the question, what's a Pesucha and what's a Stuma? Okay, so I'm just going through the Rambam right now. You're right, nothing to see in the Gemara right now. Parsha Pesucha Yesh La Shtei Tzuro. So when it comes to Pesucha, so it can come in one of two forms. Im Gamar Be'emsa Shita. So the idea of Pesucha, let me just start off like this. The idea of Pesucha is big break, meaning that we're ending a section and we're turning to a new section, a different section. Okay, so that's the idea of Pesucha. So Im Gamar Be'emsa Shita. So let's say you're a sofer and you're writing, and you finished in the middle of a line. So now what you're going to do is you're going to leave the rest of that line blank and you're going to start next line. Okay, that's one permutation of a psucha. However, that's only if you have nine letters left at the end of this line. But let's say you don't have nine letters left at the end of a line. Or let's say you finish the line at the end of the line, and there's a requirement now to leave a psucha. So what do you think you should do? So meniach shita shnia shloksav beloksav umachla parsha psucha mitchil shita shlishit. Okay, so you leave a whole line blank, and now you move to the line after that. Okay, those are two permutations.
You start any line in the middle.
Huh?
The line
when it comes
starts
to a psucha,
no. When you start writing the new line,
with all beginning for a psucha, beginning. Okay, then there's something called the stuma. Parsha stuma halacha beis on the Rambam. Parsha stuma yesh la gimel tzuros. There are three forms of a stuma. Okay, now again, the basic idea of a stuma, it's like a little right mini break. Not a totally new concept, not a totally new idea, just a mini break between this and that, right? Let's go to the beginning of the Torah.
Vayechi doesn't
have
one.
Huh?
Vayechi doesn't have one.
Vayechi has literally no break.
No, right? Yeah, Vayechi has no break.
I know we call it, you're right, by the way, we call it a stuma.
Right.
So
it's a partial stuma.
Right, but it's a parsha stuma, but it's not.
The beginning is not a.
Right. Okay. Let's say we start at the beginning of Bereishis. So for each new day, psucha. Right? For each new day. Right? The second day, third day of creation, seventh day of creation. So that's. You're talking about totally new topics. So when do we see it? When do we come across a first stuma? It's not for a while. El ha'isha amar harbe arbe itzvanech. Right after giving the klala to the snake, so now Hashem turns his attention to the woman and says, "Here's your klala." So that's the first time in the Torah that we have a stuma. Okay, just a little break. Oh, so the Rambam writes, "Parsha stuma yishlash gimel tzuros." Let's in gamar be'emsa shita. So let's say you finish in the middle of a line. Minich revach kishir. So you leave a little break. Okay, so a little break in the middle of the line.
This little break.
Huh?
How many spaces is that?
He writes only kishir, like a small shear.
Two spaces.
Doesn't say. Right? If, let's say, there's not enough room at the end of a line, so what you do is you start the next line a little bit indented. And then start writing the emsa shita shnia in the middle of the second line. Or, right, finally, the imgamer b'sof shita, let's say you finish the line, minich mitchila shita shnia kishir ha-revach. So then what you're going to do is you're going to do a sizable break in the middle. Okay. And the big difference between Psucha and Stuma is that Psucha always will start next to the next paragraph, will always start at the beginning of a line. Stuma will always start the next paragraph in the middle of the line. Okay? That's the basic difference between a Psucha and a Stuma. Okay, now with all that in mind, so now our two parshios of mezuzah. So when I connect the two parshios of mezuzah, so do I do a psucha or do I do a stuma? Okay, now listen carefully because it's a tricky question. I mean, the Gemara.
But you're not transcribing it. That's not the way they're looking at it.
Okay. So the first thing to consider is that when I take those two paragraphs and I take them from the Sefer Torah and I put them into a mezuzah, so you understand the Sefer Torah, they were not side by side. So in the Sefer Torah itself, we have no indication of whether it should be Psucha or Stuma because we're cutting and pasting.
Really,
we're cutting Shema, that paragraph. We're cutting Vehaya, that paragraph. And we're placing them both into a mezuzah. So now you understand the need of the Gemara to tell us, because otherwise we really wouldn't know. So the Gemara says like this. So now let's go back to the Gemara. Amar bichalba, chazina leil Ravuna dekarach lemeacha meacha kapi shma veose. I'm sorry, kapi shma. So number one, the first halacha, which is I roll it from left to right, and two, the ose parshioseha stumos, and the parshios are stumos. The parshios are stumos. So in other words, the second paragraph is starting in the middle of the line, not the beginning of the line. Now, by the way, Tosfos over here is bothered. Right, Rebbe spoke about this last year. Tosfos over here is bothered. Parshios stumos. That's Lashon Rabin. Right. How many times do we have to worry about this problem of stuma versus psucha? One time. So Tosfos is bothered by the fact that over here it's a little bit strange, right? Shouldn't it say parsha stuma? So Tosfos is bothered by that. So Psakasha, the Nakalosh and Rabin, the Ain Sham Kim Parsha Achas, the Shem Mishum Al Arts, the Besof Shita Afapishe, She Ain Kas of Klomacharkach. So maybe, Tosu says, maybe it's because of the halacha that we just learned, that the Al Ha'aretz ends at the end of a line. So that's also, quote unquote, a Parsha Stuma. Maybe. Okay? See Rebbe Shear last year, where he talked about this very issue about Tosfos' question. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chelbo. Amesve. I'm Rabbi Shimon Malaza, Rabbi Meir Ayakosfa. So now we're going to learn out a lot of halachas by Rabbi Meir. You should know that Rabbi Meir is a sofer, that we come very often to Rabbi Meir, and he has a lot of things about sofers. He's a Tana, and there are a lot of things about sofers that relate to Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir tends to be very popular in terms of Hilchos Stam. Hayakoso, number one, he would write it Al Duchsustos. Now, there are two parts to the hide. You take the hide off an animal, and there are basically, you could split it into two. Okay? One is called the cloth, and the other is called the Duchsustos. Okay, Sefer Torah is written on cloth. Mezuzah, according to the Gemara, according to Reb Meir, is written on Duchsustos. So, the inner part. So,
but we don't separate it.
Before the discussion of what we do, let's get the Gemara straight. So, Amar Reb Shimon Malazar Reb Meir Ayakos al Duchsustos Kemendaf. So, he would write it on the Duchsustos, that's number one, halacha number one. Okay, number two, halacha number two, he would write it Kemendaf. Rashi explains that he would write it in a very narrow column, like a Sefer Torah. Now you think that, okay, isn't that normal? Isn't that what we do? First of all, yes, that's what we do, but look at your tefillin, right? It's hard to see the cloth inside the tefillin, but if you ever look at the way tefillin is written, it's written long and narrow, right? Wide and short, very wide. Okay, so that's the second halacha of Reb Meir. It's Kemendaf. Third halacha, we're now on the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Ose Revach Melamala V'Revach Melamata. Margins on the top, margins on the bottom. The Gemara doesn't say how much. Right, by the Sefer Torah, we were very specific about the length of the margins. Margin on the bottom, margin on the top. V'ose Parshioseha Psuchos. And the Parsha was Pasuach. Okay, so unlike what we just learned, that the Parsha Stumos, Reb Meir, when he read his mezuzah, he would write Parshas Pesuchos. Amarti lo Rebbe Mata'am. So I said to him, Rebbe, right, why? Amarli, all the Ein Smuchos Min HaTorah. So exactly what you said earlier. Yeah, because they're not next to one another in the Torah. So what do you want me to do? You want me to write the two Parshas on the mezuzah as if they're connected? But they're not connected. So of course, the indent between them is going to be a Pasuach, in order to reflect the fact that they're not next to one another in the Torah. The Amr of Chanan, Amr of Halacha, Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And now that Rav Shimon ben Elazar tells us this in the name of Meir, now along comes Rav and says, and that's the Halacha. So we are stuck. Because previously we said that the Halacha is at the Parshios of Stumos. Right? Which means that the second paragraph starts in the middle of the line. And now over here, we're saying that the halacha falls like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who quotes Rav Meir, and one of the many halachas that Rav Meir said, he said a lot of halachas, is that it's got to be psuchos and not stumos, which means that the second paragraph starts at the beginning of the line, not in the middle of the line. Beginning of a new line, I should say. So the Gemara says, my lava psuchos. Now, when telling us the halacha falls like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, isn't it going on every one of the statements that he made, including the requirement of being pasuach? So the Gemara says, lo, a revach. Now, it just, the only thing that he was giving a haskama to was the halacha of indentation. The kama revach, amir of Menashe bar Yaakov, amir of Shmuel bar Yaakov, kemale atba de sifra. Atba de sifra, Rashi describes it as an old-fashioned paperclip. Right? A piece of wood that's got like a little indentation, you put the pieces of paper in it. Right? An old-fashioned paperclip. So good, so that's how big the indentation is. How big is that? So, I don't know, but whatever. Whatever it is, that's the indentation. So, Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, Avlo Tisbara Dechi Amar Rav Arevach. So the Gemara says, look, I'm telling you, we're right about this, that when he affirmed that the halacha falls like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, it's only going on the indentation. It's not going on the issue of Psucha versus Stuma. How do I know that? The Harav Islam Minhaga. Rav was a big believer in Minhag. Minhag Yisrael. I mean, we all are. Don't get me wrong. Right? If there's a Minhag Yisrael, we follow Minhag Yisrael. Right? Minhag Yisrael Ketorah. Right? Minhag Yisrael is very important. And you look at, when we say Minhag Yisrael, we mean, in this context, look at what the people are doing. The people know what they're doing. And if there's a certain Minhag which is prevalent, well, we assume that there's a basis for that Minhag. So, for example, before we get to the example, the Ha'idna Nahog Alma Bestumos, and look, when our Sofim are writing, they're writing Stumos. So don't tell me that Rav is of the opinion that it's Psuchos, that what he's affirming is the Halakha Psuchos, because we all do Stumos, right? All of us, meaning the Gemara is making this statement. We're all doing Stumos, our Parshio Stumos. And so when Rav is telling us the halacha is like Rosh Hashanah Menalazer, it must be about the part of indentation. It cannot be about the part of Psuchos. Now, for example, right? And the Gemara here is just going to give us an example of how Rav is a big believer in Minhag. Look at what the people are doing. The Amarav Kahana Amarav Yavo Aliyav V'Yomer Cholzen V'Min Al Shamanlo Ein Cholzen B'Sandal Ein Shamanlo Shekvar Nagua Am B'Sandal. Look, where there's a mitzvah called chalitza. Okay? First, there's a mitzvah called yibum. If the surviving brother does not marry, want to marry his sister-in-law and perform the mitzvah of yibum, so then there's something called chalitza. Chalitza requires a shoe. Okay. Now, big discussion, right? Really not for now. Right? What does it, is the shoe? A sandal is a minnow. Sandal, minnow, the difference between them is uppers. Meaning, a sandal is just a piece of hide on the bottom with a whole bunch of straps to strap it on. Sandal. Minhal is kind of like what we wear. We're a shoe with uppers, meaning it's got hide on the bottom, it's got hide on the top. Okay, it's closed. It's the whole thing is closed. So, the minhag back in the times of Rav was that when they did chalitza, they did it with a sandal. That was the minhag, to do it with a sandal. And he says, look, let's say Eliyahu comes. Right? I love this moment. The moment of Eliyahu is going to tell us what to do. So if Eliyahu comes and he says to us, right, Cholsim b'minol, that you need to do chalitza with a minol, so then shomim lo. So then, yeah, you know what? Okay, Eliyahu, we'll give it to you. Okay, fine. But in Cholsim b'sandal, but if Eliyahu or Navi comes and tells us, don't do chalitza with a sandal, ain't shomim lo, we wouldn't listen to him. We wouldn't listen to him. Why? Because our minog is to do it with a sandal. And minog means that there's something behind it. It's right. What we're doing is correct. Good.
It's like an anti-tikkun.
And then what?
Anti-tikkun.
Right. Right. Rav Yosef Amar. Rav Yosef Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav Im Yavo Eliyahu V'yomer Ein Cholsim B'menol Shomim Lo Ein Cholsim B'sandal Ein Shomim Lo. Here, slightly different variation of how the statement was made. If Eliyahu comes and says, don't do chalitza with a minol, so meaning minol's not right, so shomim lo, so we will listen. Ein cholzim b'sandal, but if he tells us not to do chalitza with a sandal, ain't shomim lo. Shekvar now go on b'sandal. V'amina might be now, the subtle difference between the first way he said it and the second way he said it, but the Gemara says there is a difference halachically. Minol echatchila ikabeinayu. Meaning, is minol the preferred way to do it? According to the second version, it is. According to the first version, it's not. But anyway, but the point is, the main point over here is minog. Rav is a big believer in minog. So you see that because people do sandal, and even if Eliyahu were to come and tell us, don't use sandal, Rav would say, look, we would just tell him.
That's what we do.
We use sandal. And just one second. And our sofrim, how do we write our mezuzah? We write it stuma. Right. So there's no way that Rav would say that the halachas like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and you should do a psucha. Ela lav shma mina arevach shma mina. Okay, so the Gemara says, so you see over here that the only thing that he was affirming is the indentation of the mezuzah. A little bit more and we'll stop for today. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar mitzvah lasos and stumos. So the Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, we could say it like this. Really, the mitzvah is to do it stumos. The e of dinu psuchu shapir damed. Oh, but if you want to make it pasuach, so that's okay. So in other words, could be that both statements are correct. Rav's statement that we do it stumos, that could be the lechatchila din. If you make a psuchos, and by the way, who did? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir made his psuchos. If you made yours psuchos, so then that would also be okay as well. So in other words, stumos lechatchila, psuchos bedieb.
But besides having a minhag, he doesn't say where Rav gets it from. He just says it's minhag. But I mean, who's the Tana that supports him? I mean, he's going against Rabbi Meir.
Correct. But in other words, if everyone's practicing a certain way, Rav is telling you there's something to that. You can't just ignore that. You're right. In other words, there's no source for that. That's the whole idea of minhag. Minhag is you look at what the people are doing.
In the Torah, it says sandal or
neither.
The actual word
chalitza.
No, the chalitza. But it says which one is what? Is it that sandal? Or
I'll tell you as I look at it.
You wash the spit out of his sandal and shoe.
Right.